Well, who knew? We have a giant pumpkin growing association, and the mark is, to beat is 846 pounds.
486 pounds.
What did I say?
846.
Oh, okay. And the world record was?
Oh, the world record's 2,300 and some odd pounds. So I doubt Arizona will ever eclipse that, because that's a, you know, in Switzerland in a greenhouse. Although somebody could build a greenhouse just to grow pumpkins here, and they might do it. So,
well, let's get to our callers. We have Dick and Mesa starting us off at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888. Rosie, for you. Go ahead, sir. Well, he has oranges that are. He has oranges. A question on his oranges. Go ahead.
Yes. I've got an orange tree. I believe it's a Valencia. It seems to be very healthy, no problems. But my oranges don't get orange. Last year, some of them had a lot of green. And this year, a lot of the oranges have a lot of green still on them. They seem to taste okay, but they don't orange up.
Well, interestingly enough, it's the cold weather that turns, you know, the color on the rinds or the skins of citrus. If you go to Mexico or Central America and buy citrus fruits, they very seldom are very colorful. They have a lot of green in them, even though they're still ripe. So the coloring of the skin has nothing to do with the ripeness of the fruit. It's generally brought on by the cooler temperatures. Valencia is a very late ripening orange. They don't really get ripe until February or March. And we did have a pretty mild winter or spring. I haven't heard of anybody complaining about or any other comments about not having colored up fruit on anything. So yours is a unique situation. But if the tree looks healthy otherwise and you have had no problems and no leaf drop and the foliage looks good and they're just not colored, it could be something genetically in that tree that, you know, just doesn't allow it to color up, perhaps. I wouldn't worry too much about it as long as they taste good.
Well, we appreciate the call, and that's interesting. I didn't realize it was the cold that made it that color.
Right. If you go to tropical countries where they grow citrus, you know, they just, if you ever go to a market in Mazatlan or Puerto Vallarta and look at their citrus fruits, they're kind of mottled or striped or
I guess
odd
I just
looking.
Never thought of it, because the citrus I buy when I'm down there is usually limes.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, how do people know that it's ripe then? I think that's the issue. You say, oh, it's good in orange. That means it's ready. Because staying at the office, they have an apricot tree.
Uh-huh.
And they have been bringing us bags of apricots. But they're kind of half green. But they're very sweet.
Well, generally you just kind of know that, you know, the basic ripening dates. In stone fruits, if you know the variety, you can generally look at the time frame. It might be a little bit of a window. The birds on stone fruits, the birds will tell you when they're ripe.
That's what I thought.
Okay, all right.
But when the birds are after them, they're
yeah,
good to eat.
They're probably ready. And citrus, I just, you know, if you know it's a Valencia, you know sometime in maybe mid to late February, it should be getting ripe. You try one, and the thing is with citrus, they'll just get better the longer you leave them on there. They'll just sweeten up more. So,
okay. Our plum tree, we got plums for the first time this spring, and it, I mean, this is just little tiny. They were the size of, I mean, it was like eating a grape. But one day, you know, I would go out there and pick a few off, and I'd suck on them while we're doing chores. One day, they're all gone, and on the ground, it's just this graveyard of pits. You could tell they.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what bird crop moved through there, but I mean, they cleaned it out overnight.
Oh, they do. They know. They can just tell. It's something else.
Julie, on your watermelon, you had a great list of how to tell if a watermelon's ripe. There was a couple things on here I had never heard of.
The more hollow it sounds when you thump it, the quicker you have a sense of whether it's ripe or not. It's amazing the nutritional level with your vitamins and minerals in it. And interestingly enough, it's mainly composed of water.
92% water, and there's antioxidant and lipocene more than any other fruit or vegetable that helps in reducing the risk of cancer. Vitamins B6, B1, I don't know what all these do, but I mean, just the list goes on.
A lot of good stuff.
Magnesium.
And it's a good summer crop. Like, all of our melons are coming off, and again, Arizona and California are really good at growing the melons, watermelon, cantaloupe, all of those good, healthy melons for summer.
And if you eat 2 cups a day, that's over 25% of your recommended daily vitamin A and 30% of your vitamin C.
And you get a lot of fiber when you eat your watermelon and some of your other melons.
Y'all had a fun watermelon salad recipe on there where you take a watermelon, red onions, red wine vinegar, olive oil, and either crumbled blue or feta cheese and mix it all together.
That's one of our Fill Your Plate recipes. And for a lot of your summertime vegetables, if you go to Fill Your Plate, you'll get a lot of those really yummy summer recipes. They'll keep you cool.
That's a lot of flavors going on in that salad right there. What did I hear? Watermelon, onions.
Red onion.
Cheese.
It's got to be red onion. You got to watch that. Amanda makes a really good tomato cucumber salad that's pretty similar to this. But you end up with yellow onions in there. It's just not the same. And then you also have olive oil, red wine vinegar, and blue or feta cheese.
People have been known to put other forms of liquid into watermelons as well.
Mainly at college campuses. You cut it half open and you slice it and you let it simmer for.
We don't have watermelon drink this week. My sister made me, and it's you put it in your bullet or your blender. It's watermelon, it's fresh ginger and mint, and then a bunch of ice cubes and a little water, and then then you put it in the fridge for 4 hours. Oh my gosh, talk about refreshing.
I'm going to have to try that because I have some fresh mint and ginger in my
perfect
kitchen.
Now, I learned something new on watermelons this week. We've got ours in the ground, and they're coming up, and there's vines. And when you follow the vine to the ground, the vine started to noticeably shrink and get smaller. And I thought, well, what is doing that? And my father-in-law was in town, and he said, well, what that is it's root rot. Because I would water straight on top of the mound, and the mound eventually just kind of flattened out. And he said the reason they grow them on mounds is because you want to water around it and let the water soak up into the mound for a healthy root system, because you can't saturate the melon. So I had to go back out and trench it back out and build my mound back up higher. But so high mounds, I guess, is the moral of the story. There's a reason they say that on the packaging, but I didn't know that until this week, the reason for it.
And I'm telling you, you're going to have to start your own little farmer's stand pretty soon.
Well, the Whitman Plantation Farmer's Market, yeah.
Yes.
We're getting there. And
we
will have eggs.
Eggs, you could send your kids to college. What are they saying eggs are going to go to?
You know, I just priced them at Bash's this morning.
Wait. Maybe you shouldn't say this, because now Romy supplies the whole office, like, for what, $2 a dozen?
$4
a dozen.
I bumped it because I wanted my grandgirls to have more money for college.
Okay. There you go.
I think they're $6 in the store, aren't they?
Right now, a dozen is $3.49.
Oh, okay.
But just as regular as prices might go up on a food commodity, they will come down. And most of this is attributed to the avian bird flu that's really hitting the country, especially in the Midwest.
And I think that's where you'll see a lot of the prices affected, as long as we keep, you were mentioning the source of this was migratory birds, is where they think.
Right.
And we just don't have as big a migratory bird population in Arizona that was carrying this disease. So none of these have hit Hickman's growing
Correct.
Houses, and because of their proximity, and we're not likely. So I would say in the state, what does Hickman's grow and supply? 6 million?
It used to be. I think with the new plant, they took it to 18 million chickens, didn't they?
I don't think it's completely online, but yes, they're going to have more chicken laying hens available. But Hickman's currently, that may change too, one of our commercial farmers here in the valley. But that's one of the reasons why it's so easy for us to get locally raised and locally grown eggs. So, and I just talked to Glenn Hickman about 3 weeks ago, and him, along with so many of the other farmers across the United States, have really good biosecurity protocols in place to try to protect against this bird flu.
I mean, how many sleepless nights would you have? For a long time, Hickman's had one chicken for every man, woman, and child in Arizona, like 6 million. But I think their new plant tripled their capacity.
Yeah, I think it's going to triple it. I'm not quite sure how many available today online, but that
so you have 300% more chickens to worry about.
Yeah, and unlike you and I that have our backyard chickens, and we might not have any of these biosecurity protocols in place. At least they do, so we can be assured of a supply. But because the demand is still there and there's short supply across the country, that's one of the reasons why right now you see them for $3.49 a dozen. However, again, that will go down.
Well, haven't eggs become like a fab food in the last 2 years?
Oh, it's amazing.
The paleo diet people.
Oh, I mean, they were the enemy of good health for a long time, right? Right.
Eggs on your cheeseburgers, eggs on your enchiladas.
Eggs on your salad.
I had an egg on my meatloaf at Richardson's yesterday for lunch. So
it wasn't they cracked it in the meatloaf, because I'll put eggs
in
the meatloaf.
No, they cracked it right over the top. Over easy, right on top of a slab of meatloaf. Ooh. It was delicious.
Interesting. Awesome.
But the eggs really are fab food right now. They're in. Everybody says it's like the miracle food now.
It's very healthy. It's one of your most economical forms of protein. So even at $3.49 a dozen today, it's a lot more economical for a family to make eggs part of that protein mix versus some of the other foods that you might have, which it's all good. We need a balanced diet.
$6 a dozen, they're 50 cents a piece.
There you go.
So two eggs is $1.
Still pretty cheap.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to eat for a dollar. Two eggs and a couple slices of bacon, and, you're for a couple of bucks, you're out the door, right?
And we save and collect egg tips, and we'll distribute them from time to time to our egg customers. But you know how to tell the age of an egg?
Tell us.
You take a glass of water. If it sinks, it's fresh. If it floats, throw it away.
That is true. And we've also got a lot of that good information, and especially recipes that have eggs, and or the recipes that have eggs as a main centerpiece for the meal.
And, all these chickens means more Hickman's compost.
Yes.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but I was. So, they capitalize on both ends of the chicken.
So we'll have lots more available, good local compost for your garden as well.
Farmer's Choice, I think they call it.
Farmer's Choice, that's
Farmer's
right.
Farmer's Choice. Ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself. Stop that fuss. Ain't nobody here but us.